Hello, I'm Brooke Johnson. Welcome to my father's podcast. For this week's message, or any of the messages in our archive, subscribe for free on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Bethel Christian Fellowship is a church that relies on the support of its community. We consider you a part of that community, and we would love for you to participate in our financial life. You can do that at our website at drcraigjohnson.org. Whether you're new to this space or a regular pod listener, we're glad you're here. We believe that this message will bring you hope, encouragement, and guidance. God bless you.
Good morning. Let's put our hands together and greet our streaming family. We love you. And we welcome you into, we're still in our series, part 16, called The Name of the Lord. We're talking about the names of God and the various facets of the attributes and the character of the Lord. And I'm so blessed by this season. And today we are loaded for bear. We have a name today that looks very simple to pronounce, but it's a little difficult. It looks like Giorgos, but it's actually Iorios. 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 It's a name for God that we find in the New Testament in John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Jesus said, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener." That's the word Iorios. "He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more fruit." Amen. Today we're going to be talking about the gardener, God the gardener. And beloved, God has a green thumb, we're going to find out today. And I just want to underscore one point all day as we deal with pruning. Now, I contacted our beloved Daniel Chu, and of course, Daniel is an expert pruning. And so I said, "Give me a little PhD expertise on pruning." And Daniel sent me this. "Pruning is almost always done to improve the health and vigor of the plant, to remove diseased branches, which could lead to the death of the plant, to redirect energy to a part of the plant that will ensure it grows straight and not crooked, allowing a stray branch to grow in an inappropriate location could cause an imbalance that would split the tree in half and severely damage or kill it. To increase fruit production, some trees respond to heavy pruning by fruiting. There have been instances where a fruit tree that has borne no fruit is literally chopped down to the ground, and the tree that grows back from that stump then flowers and produces fruit. To allow adjacent plants to grow, pruning a tree can allow light to get to younger plants that would otherwise be shaded and fail to thrive. And sometimes immature fruit is removed from a tree to prevent a particular limb from becoming too overloaded and snapping under the weight." And all God's people said, "Amen." Daniel Chu, that's a quote. We can ride with that. Good night. Have a wonderful day. No, we'll go further. I'm not going to leave it with Daniel alone. Because today I want to focus on the one fact that we are not to misread reality in our lives during this season. Do not misread the reality of your life. This teaching today is designed to get us to see that when God prunes, notice, we're not just going to talk about he cuts off dead wood. That's not Jesus's point. His point isn't the negative point, it's the positive. When he finds a fruitful, wonderful ministry, a fruitful, wonderful marriage, a fruitful, wonderful parent-child relationship, he prunes that branch because he wants not just good, he wants best. He doesn't want just a little in the quantity department. He wants a lot. And so he's at work cutting things that you would prohibit. You say, that Jesus. Now that saint looks dead over there. Cut them off and throw in the fire. And Jesus says, the Father, Iorios, the farmer, the husbandman, he knows just what to prune and just when to prune and just how to prune, but it's always counterintuitive to us. That's why he doesn't listen to our counsel when he's pruning. Because when he takes out that pruning knife, thank God it's in the hand of Iorios. This name for God, you don't want anybody else with the pruning knife.
I think I know how Maudette needs to be pruned. Bring her over here now. Give me the pruning knife.
Maudette does not need me to prune anything in her life. And you don't need your mama to do it for you. And you don't. Beloved, we need to know that only Jesus and his Father can hold the pruning knife because they know exactly where to cut. Nobody else knows where to cut. And by the way, self-pruning is not allowed. Beloved, you can't see yourself the way we see you. It takes others in our life for the pruning mechanism to work in us because we don't see us.
Well, I do see. I know exactly.
No. We need others who have an objective view for God to bring into our lives to do the pruning work in our lives. So let's take a look, first of all, trusting the pruning knife of Iorios. It takes a sharp eye and a sharp knife to do the work of pruning. And always remember, the pruning knife is in the hand of Iorios, the loving Father. Notice Jesus portrays the Father as the patient gardener, giving every plant what it needs to thrive. So there's no guesswork in the cutting God does. There's plenty of guesswork when I try to prune you.
I know just what she needs. She just needs.
Beloved, there's too much guesswork. And God will use us in the pruning reality for one another, but he is always the one behind the scenes giving the wisdom, giving the information, because God knows exactly where to cut. And when he does prune, it always feels a little counterintuitive, always looks a little shady. You know, how many times have you last challenged his work in your life? You know, if people are flying out of your life or you're losing things in your life or you're, I'm telling you, pruning is a difficult thing. It's always painful. It's always painful. It always hurts when God takes away. So there is no way that he can prune back without causing pain. So let's look at a few facts, four reasons to prune. Number one, to remove what is dead or dying. So you didn't know that friendship was dead or dying. You didn't know it because God knows it. The Father. Notice Jesus says it's the Father doing this. You know, we're comfortable with Jesus doing stuff. Right? We know the Holy Ghost is always doing stuff. But the Father, he reserves the right to prune his beloved. He loves you, honey. He wants the best for you. And we're going to find out today, pruning is never punitive. Quit asking what's wrong. You never get a right answer to a wrong question. As soon as we feel the pain or the prick of pruning, or we seemingly see an evidence that some people, places, or things are flying out of our life and seem to be leaving, or God seems to be doing another weird thing again. He's pruning something with fruit all over it. No. Jesus, now I want to give you my counsel. I always tell him, Lord, you need my counsel now. It looks like you should be pruning that dead one over there. He knows exactly what he's doing. Because, see, he wants more. He the enemy at best is always good. He doesn't want just a good crop of fruit on his little branch. He wants a lot because it brings glory to the Father that we produce much fruit. So pruning removes what is dead or dying. Secondly, pruning removes what is infected or diseased. Pruning removes whatever is hindering us. Pruning happens to keep us focused and on the right track. You see, if, beloved, you see people, places, and things being removed, it could be that God knows better than you do, and he's trying to remove. He's making room for the fruit he wants on your branch. He's making room, and he's got to get rid of a lot of other stuff that's good to bring you the best. But we always misread it. Don't misread reality right now in your life. It isn't punitive. Look at four more facts about pruning. Number one, pruning is not punitive. We always ask what's wrong. We always say, oops. We always want, God is only and always adding to us. It's not the negative taking away part you need to focus on. It's the addition and multiplication he's trying to bring to you. But we're so desperate, sometimes we'll just take a friendship that's just good. Did you know God is not in the business of giving good friendships? He wants best. Relationship, he don't want you full of toxins with toxic people. You can be so lonely sometimes you'll just take a toxic person. I mean, your whole life is poison. Everybody they touch and the ecosystem around them is poison. But we just think, well, it's all I have. And God says, yeah, but I want you to be healthy and I want you to be robust. And I want you to, for the first time in your life, have a friend that is not some member of the opposite sex that you're confused about their place in your life. Beloved, not everybody's a romantic interest. God wants to bring the best. Relationally, he prunes bad attitudes sometimes. Mike looked away when I said that just then. I don't know what that meant. Pruning is not punitive. We got to get that shirt for Mike. Pruning is not punitive. But we always think that we're being judged. What's wrong with me? I must be bad. I'm feeling pain. It's off. I've sinned again. And we have this guilt, shame complex all the time that we always immediately assume when we feel the pain of pruning that we're being judged. Pruning is an affirmation that you're bearing fruit. It's a good thing. God says, I am so proud of you. You are doing such a great job that I'm going to promote you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to prune just this one little thing that I think is taking up a little room, and I'm going to leave room for you to be promoted to a better thing. Isn't it true? When you trust Jesus, it always turns out right. And you always go, oh, see, you look in the rearview mirror, everything makes sense the last 30 years of your life. You're like, oh, my God. Oh, no wonder they had to leave me. Oh, my God, that was toxic. Oh my God, I can't believe I was in that friendship for that long. I can't. Now it makes sense in the rearview mirror why he had to use the pruning shears on you. But we always immediately think we're being punished. Beloved, pruning prepares us for future fruit bearing in Jesus. That which takes life must itself be taken. Did you know that God does not want anything taking the living sap out of you, the life out of you? He wants to remove any of those. You know, there are little plants, little sucker plants that start growing around the base of a tree, and the sucker plants actually suck the actual life force out of the tree, where that life force needs to go to the branches that are producing fruit. It doesn't need to be drawn all over 100 different places where there's really nothing going on. So little suckers, you go, well, it's just a little sucker. It's just a tiny little sucker. Yeah, those tiny little suckers actually can suck the power and energy out. And so Iorios, the pruner, goes, I'm going to get all those little baby things that you know, it doesn't look like much. The devil always says, oh, it's just a little sucker. Leave it alone. It's a tiny little thing. Oh, look at that. Yeah, but 600,000 tiny little things can suck the life out of the tree. And so he, with his fingers, begins to take and just prune. They don't have to be big things he's removing. He just does a little pinch. You said, I wonder what that pinch was I was feeling. Yeah, oh, little sucker that was taken. Beloved, what do we give our time? Do we give our time ever and our money to things that are worthless endeavors? Do we ever spend any money or time on people that God has been trying to saw off our limb for the last 30 years? Yeah. Well, I'm just pouring your life source into these people, places, and things that are actually suckers that are, they're just sucking. And you just wonder why I'm always weak when I'm around them. I feel like I need to sleep. Good sign. The Lord's pinching off people, places, and things. It's all right. Let him do it. Cooperate. Even if your cooperation is just saying, like Lurch. Let him do it. Let him do it. Pruning is not punitive. And beloved, point four, that which takes life must itself be taken. God is showing his love to you by removing everything and everyone that is taking up wrong space. So whether it's an unfruitful habit or a toxic relationship or a bad attitude or any person, place, or thing that's taking up space and is sucking the life out of you, he loves you, beloved, too much to let them suck the life out of you. And you know what? Sometimes we just let it happen. We keep hanging around people. We keep helping people that keep rejecting us, but we don't get the message. We keep going back. And God goes, you know, I talked to a dear saint of God who called me. He said, I'm always helping my family. I'm always blessing them. I'm always giving to them. I'm always working for them. And they keep cursing. They keep demeaning me. They keep slapping me down. They keep sucking my life force out. And I said, well, that might mean God is using his pruning shears. Let him do it. Cooperate. Cooperate. Amen. See, I have that codependent streak in me that I would hang on until the last dog was hung. In fact, when we were over at A.E. Wright Middle School, I allowed so many crazy people in the church when the Lord was always telling me, that girl's crazy. I said, I know she's crazy. Everybody knows she's crazy. He said, yeah, but you're letting her stay. She's sleeping on everybody's couch and sleeping with everybody's husband. Prune. I didn't have a pruning device. And so I just sort of let it go and thought, well, it's better that we have 500 people here than, oh, no, 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 no. Now I prune everything, especially Dennis. Amen. Like Pastor Rick said, we're going to prune until we just get down to you and me. And you look a little suspicious. Beloved, he cuts us down to a remnant sometimes because he's trying to allow the room to be filled with fruit and nothing to take its place. Come on now. Preach it. I think I will. So, number six, Eurios cuts away dead and unproductive parts to promote greater fruitfulness. Pruning is a process, not a one-time event. I wish it was one cut. I wish it was one cut, but it isn't. As long as you walk with Jesus, it's called sanctification. Remember justification. You've been redeemed from the penalty of sin. That happens the minute you're born again. Sanctification, you're being removed from the power of sin. That's as long as you live. Until you take your last breath, you are being sanctified, being systematically removed from the power of sin. Glorification is when you're removed from the presence of sin forever in heaven. Woo! So you got to get your terms right, all right? You were justified the minute you got born again. You're being sanctified, and that involves pruning, cutting, pinching. Who does he think he is? He's Eurios. He's the gardener. He's your father. He knows exactly what he's doing. I know I'm preaching, all right? But, beloved, perseverance in the midst of pruning produces character. Listen to Romans 5, 3, and 4. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Beloved, he is leading hope. That's what he's leading with in your life. He wants you to be hopeful. And there's something about submitting to the pruning process which allows us to submit to God's will, God's way, in God's timing, and that produces hope. Everything's going to be okay. I don't know about you, but the sweeter he gets, the more I walk with him. He just seems to get sweeter every day to me. He's so faithful. He's so good because he knows, beloved, he sees his intent for you, and he's the only one that sees the blueprint of your life. So he's the only one that could be trusted with the pruning knife. Amen. And now look at Roman numeral 7. Your pain is not pointless. You need to hear this. Someone needs to hear this. Your pain is not pointless. Personal pain, number one, opens our eyes to the sufferings of others. Have you noticed that? when you go through pain, you become an expert in pain, and you can see it and smell it in other people's lives. Isn't that true? Personal pain opens our eyes. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, "Who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." So when you become acquainted with pain and grief, it sensitizes you to the pain of others. So pruning is painful, but your pain is not pointless. You're growing, beloved. Have you noticed that you're a little more sensitive to the needs of others? A little bit more aware? We call it empathy. Sympathy is cheap. Yeah, poor bastard. You ever heard that? My dad used to say that all the time. Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, geez. Hey, man. What a... Oh. Empathy is expensive. Empathy is, I see the... I've been there. I know what that, I know what divorce feels like. Oh my God. I know what rejection feels like. But see, you went through pain. You endured it so you can see it in others and you can steward that pain toward a purpose. Your pain isn't pointless. Personal pain opens our eyes to the sufferings of others. And second, personal pain softens our hearts and makes us more compassionate. Listen to Psalm 34, 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Beloved, the pain of pruning will open you up to greater sensitivities to your brethren. Because when people are in agony, they don't need a pat answer. Well, Philippians 1, 6, he works all things to his glory. And oh, shut up. When you need spiritual surgery and you're a spiritual burn victim, you don't want people sticking their hands on you. How you doing, brother? Let me pray for you. No, why don't you go and die? John Wesley used to say to his wicked wife, he used to say, you know, if you were buried underground or had never been born, I don't know what difference that would make for the kingdom. John Wesley was one of those preachers, the reformers that married this woman from hell. Ooh. Watch who you hook up with after you accept Jesus. This woman didn't like him. This woman gave his enemies secrets about him so they could attack him. She would stand outside his meetings and tell everybody he's a fraud. Don't listen to him. Hi, honey. How was your day? Beloved, we don't need our ecosystem poisoned. All right. All right. Next pain, fact. Personal pain teaches us to comfort others in pain. You can only give what you've got, beloved. You can only give what you've got. Did you know God loves to use broken people? He does. I've got a beautiful book by a guy named Dave Furman. And it's a book called Kiss the Wave. And chapter 9 is called Weakness is Always the Way. Listen to this. The ancient Japanese form of art called kintsugi involves joining together broken pottery pieces with gold or other precious metal. Kintsugi literally means golden patchwork, which is what the art is all about. The artist takes the broken pieces of pottery, such as cups, bowls, or plates, and puts them together again to form the original items. Rather than hiding the flaws of the pottery, the artist highlights the cracks by sealing them with gold. Brokenness is not hidden, but showcased for all to see. The reason why kintsugi is found in museums throughout Japan is because the broken art is given more value and revered as more beautiful than a cup or bowl that is unbroken. Whose ways does that remind you of? Pruning is counterintuitive. Everything God does doesn't make sense until you realize he loves broken things, because broken vessels are leaky vessels, and he actually will highlight the cracks in your life. Remember we say about Jacob, lead with your limp? It says Jacob led with his limp the rest of his life when God wrestled with him and put his limp out, put his hip out. You could see Jacob coming from a distance. There he is. They can say, there's Dennis. We see him over to Casey's coming up. He's over. Beloved, don't hide your limp. Lead with your limp. These artists knew by highlighting the broken part, there's an extra special glory. And I think they got this principle from Iorios, the pruner, the husbandman. He will pay such attention to your limp. Empathy heals the one who gives it and the one who receives it. Remember, sympathy is cheap. Empathy is expensive. Look at Roman numeral 8. The Iorios always prunes us with care and precision. Now, he doesn't waste any of his pruning efforts. So you may think, he's pinching me too much. Ooh, that hurt too much. Oh, I don't really understand that season of my life. Well, beloved, one of the names of God that lets us know he's in control, even though it doesn't look like it, is Iorios. There it is. He's my gardener. He's my father. This is for my good and for his glory so that I can bless more people. Don't focus on the negative of what he's removing. Look at the room he's making for new relationships in your life, new fellowship in your life, new opportunities in your life. The other things that have been taking up space need to go for there to be room for him to bless you. Someone say amen. Seems like a simple point. But you know, this is interesting. Iorios develops the fruits of the Spirit in us through counterintuitive measures and experiences. Now look at Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, patience. Just look at four of these. Love, how do you get love? He teaches us love by putting us around unlovely people. Oh, no, he must teach love by bringing lovable people. It's easy to love lovable people. It's easy to give to lovable people. And Jesus said, if you only love people that are lovable in your life, you're not fulfilling the mandate. The mandate is you're to love the unlovely. Now that's counterintuitive. And he'll teach you true love by putting unlovely people around you. What about joy? He teaches us joy in the midst of sorrow. So you've got to go through sorrow to experience the dregs in order to find that joy that only he can give you. When people say, I don't understand, you're going through hell, and yet there's a joyful song in your mouth. Only God can do that. But see, for joy, he'll do a counterintuitive thing. See, I thought everything God did was going to be on my terms. He's going to teach me love by only bringing loving people to me, teach me joy by only giving me wonderful moments. How does he give peace? He teaches peace by allowing irritations all around you. What's the matter? See, once again, there's no right answer to a wrong question. Lord, everything's going wrong. No. He's teaching you peace. He's teaching you to have your peace in the midst of irritations. He's not going to give you peace when you get out of those irritating situations. He's going to give you peace in the midst of the irritating situation. Someone say amen, but not too loud. What about patience? He teaches us patience by allowing things to frustrate us. Yeah, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe they said that. I can't believe they did that. I spend most of my days saying that. I can't believe they said that. Or people ask me, they think I'm psychic. Pastor Craig, why did that happen? I said, did you think I have wisdom? Why would you ask me? Why did they do that? I don't know why anyone does anything. Don't ask me. I must have a sign on my chest. Why did she say that? I don't ask her. She doesn't even know why she said that. So, beloved, it's all right. So, four helpful hints. Let's give something positive. Number one, pay attention to your attachments. In this season, don't misread your reality. What are your attachments? Are there any attachments in your life that smell a little bit? Just a bit. And you keep putting deodorant on it. You keep spritzing them with a little perfume. Well, they didn't mean that. They really mean well. And you just don't know them like I do. Beloved, look at your attachments in life right now. Are there any that are a little suspicious or that you're forcing a little bit too much? Let Iorios have a pruning opportunity. Amen. If there's anything in your attachments that are suspicious, remember, Grandma said, if it's doubtful, chances are it's dirty. Well, I don't know about that. If it's doubtful, chances are it's dirty. Don't drop that. I told my kids that. See, I taught my kids principles. And now they're repeating them to all their friends. If it's doubtful, chances are it's dirty.
What does that mean, Daddy? Quit saying that. You repeat yourself all the time.
I know I do. If it's doubtful, that saved my life. If I ever would have listened to that.
That's not the Bible.
No, it's not in the Bible, but the truth sure works. If you ask that question,
well, shit, Mama, should I go and do
the oughts and the shoulds? What? Where, whoa, if it's doubtful, chances are it's dirty. Well, I didn't want to hear that. That'll shut most things down right there. So as you look at your attachments, just instead of being super spiritual, just say if it's doubtful, chances are it's dirty. Listen. Every unproductive thing in our ecosystem must go. That's the next helpful hint. Everything unproductive or unfruitful in our ecosystem must go. Just let it go. Because God wants that space to be filled with big old sweet fruit. Big old fruit. Now, have you ever bought that fruit at Vaughn's that looks fantastic? Big old apples and the chuck juicy apple. Sweetest apple in the world. I bought a bunch of grapes that were a faux pas. I bought a bunch. Not it's not always bad, but I bought some nasty nectarines and peaches the other day. Looked sweet, looked good. I could almost taste them. And then I bit into the one and it was just mulchy and weird. I threw it out. And I took the next one and I bit into that. It was mulchy and threw it out. You know, you can get fruit to look good on the stand where you even buy it, but it's not good. It's the apples just looks, and it's like, oh, that's wildly mediocre. And Brooke says, don't throw that fruit away. I said, you eat it then. You know, it's horrible to feel deceived by your fruit purchase. But if you go to Gelson's, the fruit at Gelson's, not going to be disappointed. Amen. Every unproductive thing in our ecosystem has to go. Also, one important point. The Oreos doesn't attack the vine. He's not malicious. He's not vengeful. He's not petty. God's not saying, I'm going to prune the hell out of that one. He's not mad. He's not like, oh, I'm going to prune you. That's what you got when you were being raised. That's not a healthy God picture. He never is the guy with the, I'm so pissed at you, jerk over here. Now, see, that's what my brother would say. My parents said, honey, would you go get Craig? It's dinner time. My brother would come out and go, you better get in here right now. Mom and Dad want to talk to you. Okay, that isn't what they said. That was not the message. And between them speaking and my brother using his tone, I was terrified. I wasn't even going to come in. And then I came in and I realized, what's wrong? They said, there's nothing wrong, honey. We just asked Randy to come and get you. I said, well, he didn't do that. He did something else. My mom and dad picture was not good when Randy called me in. I thought they were going to beat me to death, and I was about to go to the shooting gallery. Anybody ever represent God like that to you, preachers? Some preachers on TV. Have you heard some of these guys talk about Jesus? They're mad, and they're peeved, and they went into the ministry. Everything, even John 3:16 sounds like an invitation to a torture rack. For God so loved the world. It's like, oh my God. Get in charge with your tone, beloved. Yeah, Pastor Joel Osteen used to say, put the mute button on most preachers and try to make sense of what they're trying to say. And see, the devil wants you to think, God, that Yorios, your pruner, is angry or petty or pissed at you. That's not the truth. Amen? Someone say a big amen to that. I wish I knew that 50 years ago. In conclusion, I just want to throw Job at you for a minute, because we all love to have Job thrown at us. A biblical example of pruning. Now, there are three seasons that he went through. There was divine assessment where God examined Job's life and he identified what needed to be pruned. So he pruned. He pruned a lot back from Job. But notice after a divine assessment, there was purposeful removal. He cut away hindrances from Job's life. Job didn't see it at the time. He didn't read it right. All of his friends came up and said, "Oh, God's mad at you. Oh, this wouldn't have happened. This pruning, you wouldn't have ever had anything taken away from you, because when you're a Christian, it's super good and getting better. If you do the right thing and pray the right way, everything's always going to be okay." Well, not when God prunes. That's why don't misread reality, beloved. If you're fruitful, he's pruning you. And Job was the greatest man alive on earth in his generation. He was the most fruitful. God said to the devil himself, "That's the best guy I've got on the planet." And pruning began. Divine assessment happened. Purposeful removal. But notice growth intention. God made every cut in Job's life with a plan in mind. Well, what was wrong? God never gives an answer to that question. But notice the end, the growth intention at the end of Job's life. The pruning ended in a more intimate and authentic relationship with God. Listen to this. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. Job 42:10. It's interesting. God took Job's theological knowledge, transformed it into experiential knowledge through suffering, through pruning. And so at the end of the whole escapade, Job is no clearer as to what the heck happened, except he's better off. And he goes, "Look, I've heard a lot about God, but now I don't know what it is, but I'm restored and I feel more intimate. I feel closer to him than I ever have." And he testified to the goodness of the Lord. Beloved, just cooperate with the pruning knife. And remember, the one who has the knife, you can trust with your life. I know it hurts. Pain is terrible. But we've been taught in the Western world that pain is always bad and it must be removed at all costs. Not the pain of pruning, beloved. This is a process that we have to get used to. But I'll tell you what, when what needs to leave leaves, have you ever been sick? I mean, have you ever had stomach flu, where your whole being cooperates with pushing whatever that is out? There's nothing worse than food poisoning. I was in Egypt. Now, when you're in Egypt, if you're ever with me on a tour, they say this. What can I eat? Is it cooked or is it in a bottle? You're out in the street and you get a piece of bread. Can I eat this? Is it cooked or is it in a bottle? They picked an apple up in the market. Can I eat this? Is it cooked or is it in a bottle? All right? Now, everyone, even though they knew that sermon, it wasn't if, it was when. You ate something that was neither cooked or in a bottle. And when it happened, our guide, who just passed away last month, he was a very rude guy, my first guide in Egypt. And he would glory in the fact that your grandmother from Kansas City did not listen to his counsel. Is it cooked or out of a bottle? And you would get Montezuma. It would make Montezuma's revenge relief. That's what you'd get. We used to call it the Hoppin' Hotep in Egypt, because there's a god named Hotep. He said, "You got it." And guess what? I was in there was all the food and I'd eaten everything. And I looked down and I saw a little donut dessert that did little donut rain. And I just took one little pinch out of my mouth and I was dead for 10 days worshiping at the porcelain convenience, the Hoppin' Hotep. I had nothing in my system, but I still had to sit down in that toilet. That was nasty business. I got on a bus to go to King Tut's tomb, and I got on the wrong bus. And I'm walking, just holding everything in, trying to find a bathroom. And I looked in the distance in the sand, and I saw a bathroom. And I worshiped all the way there, and I looked over the cement embankment, and they were building it, but it wasn't built yet. So I had to walk all the way back to the bus, and I got on the bus, and it was a French bus going away from King Tut's tomb with the wrong group, and no one spoke English. And I'm going, "Du toilet? Du toilet? Toilet? Toilet?" You know, that sounded French. So we wound up at King Tut's tomb, and I went into the little nasty bathroom at King Tut's tomb and did some things that were neither God's will or intended purpose or Allah's will. And when I was done with that horrible experience, I realized the next fact, no toilet paper, none anywhere. Now I'm yelling from the toilet paper, napkin. Napkin, napkin. Someone handed me over a tissue, you know, I thought. Yeah, oh, serviette, that's it. That's right. My Canadian brethren used to call them serviettes. That's right. So long story short, if you've ever gone through that kind of a purging, it's similar to pruning. You stay until the last thing, whatever it is gone, out, away, and there's a point where you go, "Thank you, Jesus. I give you praise." So I was starting to praise the Lord too loud, and they made sure I got some toilet paper to get me out. That was my experience at King Tut's tomb. By the way, it's been closed for 25 years, and they don't tell you that until you get there. It says closed today. So, is God purging you of anything? Is it leaving your life in that kind of a way? Let it go. Don't try to hold it in. You can't. It gets to the point where you just can't. You have to throw it up. You have to get it out. And beloved, I want to pray right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, Lord, let these words identify and label and name what you're doing, Yorios. Prune, Lord. Do your work. We surrender to your work. We cooperate with your work, Lord. We lean on you. We lean into the pruning. Take whatever it is that's taking up room. Anything, any person, place, or thing, Lord, that is a connection that you're removing, go ahead. We know we'll be better. Once you prune us, we know you'll be better. We'll be better once this is all out of our system, our ecosystem spiritually. So in the name of Jesus, I command every evil spirit that would be intending to deceive us about, well, I need to hold on to this. I need to grasp this. I need to not let go. Father, let us let go of everything. You, Orios, we trust you. Great farmer and husbandman. Great gardener, great pruner, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Someone say amen. Put your hands together. That was worth the trip, wasn't it? Well, that's either explaining what you just came out of, what you're in the middle of, or what you're just about to go into. So you can place this wherever you want. You say, oh, no. Yeah, it could be you're just about to go into this. But by identifying what's going on, you can surrender to this. Say, oh, pruning, God, there's a little bit more down here you missed. Well, you're not that obedient. What group am I talking to? Well, bless you. Beloved, we love you, and we would ask you, if we are feeding you and giving nourishment to you, would you please consider giving financially to us? Yeah. Tuesday, I've got to have a few thousand dollars that we don't have right now. We got about $400 in the church account, and our people are faithful givers. Everybody's doing their part. But we might invite you to join with us. A whole outer circle of folk that you're tuning in regularly, you're being fed. Now, if you're not being fed, don't give. Don't have anything to do with it. But if we bless you, please pray about blessing us. It's easy to go to the site and give a one-time gift or maybe a return gift every month. We know that you have needs, and I want to pray for those right now. Father, I pray for every listening lamb right now. Lord, we pray for the finances of your gentle people, Lord, that you would refresh them, that you would bring fruitfulness in their finances, Lord, that would bring everything they need to them and theirs. In the name of Jesus, amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you peace. Amen. Put your hands together. We love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.
We hope today's message has been a blessing to you. And if it has, please visit our website at drcraigjohnson.org. There you can find additional messages of encouragement. And if our ministry has been a blessing to you, please consider us in your ministry giving, as we depend solely on the financial assistance of our listeners like yourself. Also, please feel free to send any personal prayer requests. You can find us online at drcraigjohnson.org. God bless you.